Hello, hello, Tyler Bryden here. Hope everything's going well. This is a story in digital health that I've been tracking for quite a while, and it was flagged to my attention by Dr. Kerry Singer. Appreciate you sharing this. Talking about cerebral health, and recently have laid off hundreds of employees, bad press, lost insurance contracts after an investigation around over-prescribing of stimulants. So we're in a very interesting time. You can see there's a little bit more in this post. I'm going to elaborate on that. But for you who don't know Cerebral, sort of a digital health therapeutics company, you can see that there's membership plans, medication, care counseling, and then some coaching. And you can see the price point there. And what has happened is that they have been accused of very unethical capture of data, of treating patients, of prescribing pills, and treatment, and all of this has sort of culminated in this layoffs and then also some legal challenges. So they're getting investigation by the DOJ, so the controlled, like basically for their controlled dangerous substances, and employees have been in limbo since receiving an email from leadership. So this was recently, and then that has been confirmed with some of the layoffs now. And really what I wanted to do, sort of extract from this is a general health of digital therapeutics companies, digital health companies who really ran up valuations, funding amounts during a pandemic, a lot of times talking about the depression, the stress, and anxiety that the pandemic is causing. And now as the market sort of conditions change, these companies are facing significant challenges. So Cerebral is not the only one. There is sort of a free fall, as has been described, in sort of telehealth, and basically I think this is going to continue. So this is just one small example. I'm going to pull up another article here that sort of elaborates this on, shows a couple of the other companies that are experiencing this. So Roe, 18% of its workforce, after a bunch of M&A activity, after pumping up this valuation, Noom, Carbon Health, Cerebral, and basically, one of my questions here is, does this intersection of mental health, digital therapeutics, these technology companies, do they work? Are they capable of operating in harmony, or does the business model and then the goal of venture capital jeopardize everything that people would consider important in the treatment of mental health? And from a personal experience, this is something that I care about a lot, having gone through some of my own challenges in mental health a little bit earlier in life and seeing the state of current healthcare. I'm here in Canada, and although they, they work really hard, mental health care specifically is very difficult, especially if you go through an inpatient program and them sort of on this emergency at all times, trying to get as many people in and out of there, get them out of crisis, put them on a bunch of pills, whether that's good for them or not, and then bring the next load of people in there. And so unfortunately, had experience in that environment. I learned a lot and I saw a lot of shortcomings. And so I had seen those challenges and then had wanted to make a positive change. And so I started out with some advocacy there, and then through sort of my own work, and a lot of that was, honestly, it was audio and video and text note taking, to sort of process that along, combined with therapy, combined with better health overall, combined with many sort of techniques and just time, became a sort of a little bit of a healthier person. But then had this passion around some of the challenges that could be solved. And so explored that at Speak AI with some of the initial sort of exploratory markets that we looked in. And in that, got pretty involved in some mental health companies who are early stage, and then some of them who are even a little bit farther along, who really just from an exploratory conversations, and then more specifically in psychedelics. And what I realized in that regard is that there are really good people, a lot of people who are actually, clinicians or practitioners who care about the outcome, about the treatment, care about the patients. But then as you move up that ladder of people who are trying to build out the business models or build out the technology, there is definitely a little bit of a loss of understanding, a loss of empathy, a distance from the challenges that someone with mental health problems may face. And with that distance, the potential for not necessarily operating in their best interest. And when you combine that with venture capital, I think that starts to become even more conflicting, even more difficult to do. And so you can see all these companies that, again, maybe started out with an amazing intention. Maybe they still have that, but it's been convoluted by the funding model. It's been convoluted by the fact that a lot of people struggling with mental health don't necessarily have the wealth privilege that is required to make these business models feasible. And so then these companies then rely on venture capital to fund their business, grow it. But at some point you have to pay the bill for that, and that bill looks like massive returns for the investors. And so I think we're going to see a huge sort of reckoning with digital therapeutics companies, health companies, as they do try to move forward. Because as I sort of explored this, I just question, who is paying for this? How does this actually make sense? And it's one of the reasons why at SpeakAI we try to diversify the offerings of our platform, because we were just uncertain. It just felt shaky, the path that companies were going down with this. And I didn't have the experience in venture capital, and I didn't understand a lot of these things. I come from a service background where it's like you need to make enough money to pay the bills, and if you can't, then you don't really have a business. And so that's obviously not what has happened here. These are sophisticated people doing this, but that then again creates these challenges. So talking about leaked incidents reports with employees, both current and former, about this is specifically to Cerebral. And I will say that these companies, multiple of them, are considered Silicon Valley success stories. They're considered these amazing unicorns who are doing an incredible job. And in many cases, maybe they are doing an incredible job. They have, but it seems like there are a lot of problems, potentially lethal combinations of drugs, addictive drugs to people with histories of addiction, antipsychotics around like they were candy. Like these are not small claims that don't even seem, you know, isolated. They seem systematic within some of these companies. And Business Insider is not going to let me do that one. Roe, another company, 18%, as sort of did, citing the economic climate. So a lot of these companies proceeded with the idea that this market was going to stay frothy, that it was going to be able to raise money, and that they were going to continue to be sort of darlings of venture capital. But as this market has shifted and companies are focused on profitability and runway, these companies who have big, bulky teams that are expensive, it creates a lot of challenges. And as always, I'm going to share the links for these resources so you can check it out. There's quite a few links in this one, in this sort of little video. In particular, Carbon Health, another company, $350 million round a year ago, 8% of its global workforce, 250 employees, and volatile capital markets as being one of the key concerns. So they've been more focused on revenue growth, patient acquisition, retention, and then service expansion. Interesting, Roe again. And then another part that I just wanted to bring up, which is has actually been more, you know, this has been more of the long-term story that I had tuned into that then has led with this, which is Talkspace being accused of questionable practices. And lots of reasons or ways that they can do this. Sometimes it's like private data, the way that they're treating the actual therapist itself. And what else has come from it is that they are mining data. And, you know, I shouldn't say this is Talkspace specifically, but there seems like there are, when you don't have a necessarily direct revenue business model, then there's this idea of we need to mine as much data as possible. And there's always this idea of like, hey, we're going to, you know, anonymize this data and aggregate it and then provide, you know, insights at a top level. Sounds great in theory, but anyone who's dealt with specifically audio, video, or text, or whatever these recording sessions are, or just anything in general around health data, that's a very hard thing to do. So much of it is sort of identifiable in it, and you know, even the accuracy of the systems are really challenges. So I think we will see, again, like a little bit of a reckoning here. I've got the links of a couple companies, some of them that I've liked. Noom, I've thought has been an interesting company, and have seen some great case studies on them. But overall, it does seem like there, you know, is going to be some continued problems here. And this brings me back to Dr. Kerry Singer and this, privacy rights, client data, and just sort of overinflated valuation that I do believe. I mean, every company in the last few years has had their valuation inflated in some way and business model valued differently. And generally, I think the recommendation here is a great one, is that you develop ethics codes about how you make decisions. You put clinicians and clinicians who work with patients, who have empathy for them, in places of power and leadership positions. So it comes through that patient lens when decisions are being made. And overall, it's just, how do you balance this desire for business growth and then the health and the outcomes of patients? And you know, when you think of even, say, telehealth has been this goal, this idea of scaling up mental health treatment, and it's such a needed thing. And again, it sounds so great, but then you need to have a lot of therapists, and how well are those therapists? And if you're trying to treat as many people as you can, that means you're doing shorter sessions. Or if you're not doing more shorter sessions, then you're actually the companies are taking a bigger pay cut from the therapist and the practitioner. All these different ways that revenue comes out and profit margins come out. And when that comes out, someone loses in that equation. And a lot of times it seems like they are the therapists and the practitioners themselves who are the most important people in this process to administer care, and maybe not just the tech infrastructure that's built around it. So again, just been following the story and sort of came to a little bit of a peak here today with the cerebral layoffs. Going to continue to follow this and just learn from what's happening here. And this has definitely been something that I've personally had conflict with and tried to understand and tried to figure out, and how do you operate ethically, sustainably, and just make a positive impact on the world with this kind of, with what is incredibly amazing technology, what is, a beautiful potential to apply technology and talented people and efficient models. But it just seems like there's still a long way to go, and some of these stories are indicators of that. So that's my little, spiel for the day. If you have any interest or thoughts about this, please let me know. This is deeply fascinating. And for anyone who checks out these videos, I appreciate it very much. I'm Tyler Bryden. If you're on YouTube, like, subscribe, send me a message on LinkedIn. Whatever you do, make a contact point. I appreciate that. I'll keep going. Hope you have a great rest of the day. Bye.